John 11:25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. And we can never thank you enough for the magnitude of what you've done for us throughout all the world and all peoples and all kind of people everywhere, Lord, that you gave your life for us. We cannot thank you enough, Lord. We thank you, God Almighty, Heavenly Father, for loving us so much that you would send your Son to die an excruciating death for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being obedient, even unto death. Thank you, God, for this day that we celebrate, that your promises are sure and true, that you have risen and are alive and well, and you are always making intercession for us. We need you this morning, Lord. We need your presence with us over and over again, moment by moment. We cannot comprehend your word without you. We cannot worship you with a clean heart without you. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need you desperately in this day and age we live in. We need you right here at Easley First, right here, Lord, in our own hearts and lives. In the name of Jesus, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word and help us to grasp a hold of what you have for us today and hold fast to it. That the enemy not take it away or steal it from us in any way, shape, or form, but that we would hold fast to the truth of your word, this word of life, eternal life. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Celebrating Life, Eternal Life. That's what today is all about, right? But let's think for just a moment. For just a moment. Think about it. Why do you celebrate Easter? Why do you celebrate Easter? Why do we celebrate it? Why do we celebrate Easter when we celebrate Easter? Why right now? We think about the things that are going on out here in the world, and we see the spring is happening. Easter is celebrated like the children are going to be having their Easter egg hunt today, and Joe is first and foremost in her mind, she wants them to know what it's all about, that it's not just about those plastic eggs that they have back there with candy, but there's much more happening. We celebrate Easter during the springtime. It's usually scheduled March or April, right? The end of March, April. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox. What is that? It's in the northern hemisphere. It's the sign spring is coming. It's what happens before spring comes. Then there's the Jewish Passover. Now, what was happening with Jesus in the moments before, like before Friday and the week of Passover? What is this Jewish celebration that they celebrate, this week of Passover that they are celebrating right now? It started the evening of Saturday, April 12th, and this year, and it's gone until today. What is going on with this? Why was Jesus celebrating with his disciples in the upper room that day with the meal, the Passover? The breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. What did it all mean? If you go back to the Old Testament, the Passover celebrates something very specific, very important, and that is The Jewish people celebrated the Passover and still do to this day as a testimony, a celebration of being brought out of bondage, out of slavery, being set free from Egypt, from Pharaoh. And during the 10th plague, God commanded the children of Israel how to take care of their firstborn. What did they have to do? They had to have a lamb that was without blemish, without spot, without blemish. And they had to take care of that lamb and bring it into the home. They had to sacrifice it in a certain way. They had to cook it in a certain way. There were certain things God expected and commanded them to do. And then that precious blood of that lamb, that sacrificed lamb, that spotless lamb, unblemished lamb was to be put somewhere. Somewhere very important. So that when the Lord passed over, that the family members could live, the firstborn would be able to live and not die. The blood was applied to the doorposts of every dwelling of every Jewish person. And if it was not applied, the firstborn in that plague died. But why do we celebrate this Passover, this Easter celebration here now? Why do we Christians celebrate it? What if there were no spring equinox? No spring. What if there were no renewal? No season of that. What if it didn't exist? The earth would probably be very barren, very dry, or like a frozen tundra. Made me think of Narnia. We need this season, this refreshing. After the fall and the leaves die and things die, and then the winter covers it over, and then the spring comes in and new life begins. Isn't that so significant how God does things? Pointing to himself, pointing to Jesus. And there would be no life without that death. There would be no life, no renewal, no bringing afresh and anew. Jesus did that for us spiritually. Why do we celebrate Easter? Easter is a celebration of life. The life we have in Jesus. There was a newscaster was saying that he had asked a young person in their 20s, why do you celebrate Easter? And they had told him they didn't really know. They didn't know. In America, they didn't know. And when that person told them about Easter, they were like, what? That's why we celebrate Easter? They didn't know. There are people today that do not know. So wait a minute. Just a moment. Christians celebrate Easter to celebrate this Lamb of God. This Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His blood applied to the doorposts of our hearts. In our lives, he has made atonement for us. John 1:29, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, when he saw Jesus coming. Behold the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. That's a mighty thing. More than my words can even express what God has done for us. More than I'm able to share. I thought about I might need to move these stands out of the way because I didn't know what would happen this morning because of the excitement that's in my soul bottled up in here that wants to just spring out because Jesus is alive and well. He rose from the grave. God conquered death. He conquered hell and he conquered the grave. And he is alive today, making intercession for us. Jesus died that horrible, horrifying death. He didn't have to. He chose to walk that path for us because he loved his Father. Our Father and our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he gave his Son for us. He gave his Son knowing what it would cost. His Son. I can't exactly express that, but I have children and I know. I can't imagine my children taking on the sins of the world and dying for the world. I can't even fathom that, let alone my mistakes. God so loved us. What if it ended right there, though? What if it ended right on the cross? That was it. Jesus died. He went through all that horrible stuff and died. What if it ended in the tomb? They buried him, rolled the stone over the tomb, and it's done. And that was it. What if that was the way it was? There would be then no proof of Jesus' identity. If there was no resurrection, there would be no proof of Jesus' identity. The resurrection validates Jesus' claims to be the Son of God, the Messiah. The resurrection is God putting his stamp of approval on, yes, I am pleased. It is enough. It is finished. It is done. And he rose up out of that grave by the power of God Almighty. Without that, there would be no proof of who Jesus was. Acts 3:15 says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him up from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And the apostles witnessed this. And if you're a blood-bought child of God, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and he is your Lord and Savior, you also are a witness of the power of the saving grace of God Almighty in your soul. If there was no resurrection, there would be no validation of Jesus' sacrifice. I can't imagine it. The resurrection demonstrates that God was pleased with Jesus' atoning death on the cross. Let's go to the story. A couple of the events that happened in the Bible that testify of this that happened. First, we'll go to Matthew 28, 1 through 10. If you want to turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 28, 1 through 10, I'm going to read from the NIV this morning. Everything I'm doing this morning is going to be read from the NIV. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. The resurrection demonstrates that God was pleased with Jesus' atoning death on the cross. That's hard to think about. God, our Heavenly Father, seeing his Son, spotless, lamb, innocent, he turned at the moment when the sin was placed upon Jesus. Jesus cried out, why have you forsaken me? I can't imagine what that moment was like in all that he suffered. That had to be the worst in his fully human state. He was fully God and fully man. Matthew 28, 1 through 10 says, and after the Sabbath, At dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They just passed out. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Just as he said, he come and see the place where he lay." Oh, what a day that must have been. Oh, what a moment in the lives of these women. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, yet filled with joy, afraid, yet filled with joy. Have you been there where you were like so full of joy, but yet so kind of afraid, like what just happened? But it's beyond emotional, the human capability for emotion. It goes so much bigger. It's called being awestruck and awed shock. I mean, they were so filled with joy. What? What just happened? What was this that happened? He's alive! Let's go tell. I don't think they walked. I don't even think they thought about whatever pain they might be feeling on the way in the running to tell the disciples. So they hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. That stops everything, doesn't it? Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Don't you just love that we can still kneel before our God and worship him? Even now. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8 says these things, and this is Paul, one who saw the Lord. "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures," the word of God, that eternal word of life. And verse 5 says, "And that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep," Paul said. "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also," Paul said, "as to one abnormally born." You remember Paul on the road to Damascus? And there shone a bright light, and Jesus asked him, "Paul, Paul," he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He too saw the Lord and witnessed God. There is validation of Jesus' sacrifice. There's a witness. A witness that's written about over the years and passed down from generation to generation. Jesus is alive and well. He got up out of that grave bodily by the power of God Almighty. Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If there was no resurrection, there would be no hope for eternal life. The resurrection offers hope of eternal life in Christ for all who believe. Not just a portion here and maybe this person over there, but not any of these others. Everybody who believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the Lord. First Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope. A living hope. There would be no power over death if there were no resurrection. Now think of that. We would not be able to live eternal lives with God our Lord and Creator. We would not be able to go any further than the grave. If it had ended for Jesus on the cross or in the grave, and I know some religions have him still hanging on the cross. He's no longer on that cross. He is no longer in the grave. The resurrection signifies that death is overcome and believers can face it. They can face it with hope. Paul said these things in 1 Corinthians 6:14. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we die, it's not over. When we die, we're with the Lord. And hallelujah, it's not over. We will be resurrected on that day of his coming. Glory to God Almighty. Glory, glory, glory. There would be no power over death if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there was a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:50-55 says this. Paul says, "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." He had to die. And we too must crucify this flesh and live in him. 51, "Listen, I tell you a mystery," Paul's writing. "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." 52 says, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise imperishable. We will be changed, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true." What is that saying? Death has been swallowed up in victory. That victory that Jesus made for us. He is victorious. 55 says, "O death, where is your sting?" It says, "O death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The spring brings a lot of pollen. You probably wonder why I got there. Well, I'm thinking about those bees and those stingers. And a lot of that comes out in the spring. Death does have an awful sting. It is painful. But the death of the righteous is a beautiful thing in God as he collects them home to be with him. And it's not over then. They will rise again on the last day at his coming at the sound of that trumpet. Oh, death, where is your victory? It isn't. Oh, death, where is your sting? There is none. No longer. Because Jesus is victorious. He took and he conquered it. That we could be free to live in him if we choose to believe in eternal life with God. The words, as Kay so often points out, of eternal life are in our hands. This is the way. Jesus made the way. There would be no basis for the Christian faith at all if there hadn't been a resurrection. And we come back to the verse that we read at the beginning when you stood. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. And there's more. Though we were dead, yet shall we live because of him. He is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There would be, without the resurrection, no guarantee for the future resurrection. There would be no guarantee of that. Jesus' resurrection provides a guarantee that all believers will also be resurrected at Christ's second coming. I would love to go that way rather than the grave, but I may not. But the grave has no power over a child of God. You're not held to the grave if you're a child of God. This old body may be for a moment, but we will be changed in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet. We will rise up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Can you imagine the trumpet of God? I can't even imagine the trumpet of God. And the dead will rise. The dead in Christ will rise first. Now that would be a sight. If we could capture it in those moments, in the split twinkling of an eye. But after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. He is coming back for a church. He is coming back for his bride. He is coming back. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready? We have victory in the cross of Christ. That's for sure. We have victory in the resurrection of Jesus. Until the victory of Jesus on the cross, the whole human race was held in slavery. All have sinned, and death is the cost of the sin. No one has escaped sin on their own with their own merit or goodness. You cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough good to escape sin and the cost of sin. You cannot even give your own blood. It's only by the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus. Romans 4:25 says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, he defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated the grave. We have victory in him. He removed God's wrath from us. We're born into sin, born into the wrath of God. Without a Savior, we will not be able to escape that wrath. Sin and God do not mix. It's like water and oil. Cannot. God turned as Jesus hung on the cross and took the sin of the world. Justification means this: God's gracious act of declaring a sinner righteous. Righteous in his sight. It's not based on our merit. It's not based on anything we do other than believing in Jesus. It's based on Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice. Death for a believer is no longer terrifying. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. 12 in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He had confidence that to be away from the body was to be with the Lord at home. John 14:3 says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, who said that? Jesus. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I'm at. Jesus promised this to every believer. So what do we need to do with this morning? This beautiful message, this beautiful celebration that we have in Christ Jesus, this that he has done for us, this resurrection. What do we do with this? Do we stuff it in a box and keep it for next Easter? We put an egg, plastic egg, put that message in there and hide it till next Easter? Oh no, it's too big. Out of every believer's heart and life will spring up these things, that we should share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Why would we hold that back from the world when they so desperately need to be able to escape the wrath of God to come? They must know. We must tell them we have a responsibility. We also have a responsibility to prioritize this relationship we have with Jesus himself, with our Heavenly Father, with God Almighty, putting him first above all things. All things. All things. There is no sin worth the cost it's going to cost you. No sin worth it. If you have a sin that pops into your mind, it's time to deal with that. Give it up. Give it up. I say to you, give it up. In the name of Jesus, let go of it. You cannot make an excuse and say, oh, it's okay. I just need to get over this little hurdle. If I don't do it this way, I'm not going to be able to. What about them? I'm helping them. What if I go this route? No, the Lord says, there's a cost with sin, and it's bigger than you want to pay. It'll take you a lot further than you want to go. What if there was no resurrection for you because of sin? There's a choice to make, and we're being called to that daily, to take up the cross and follow Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, the second half through 10 says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from coming wrath. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We do. We must. Everybody. And what will he say? This Jesus who died for us, what will he say? It's not a message of bondage to be free from sin. No. It's a message of liberation and freedom. Romans 3:24, and this I read in closing through 26. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Oh, didn't he demonstrate it? Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And the last verse I'll read today is verse 26. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at this present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Do you have faith in Jesus this morning? Have you talked to him today?